Well, Larry's out of town, so you got to put up with me this morning. We hope you're here visiting with us. We're glad that you're with us this morning. Hope you come back tonight. Our youth are leading service tonight. It's a youth-led service. And so, guys, if you're doing that this morning, you'll see Corbin and a few of them after to get that coordinated this morning. We're going to talk about sharing is caring today. We have four goals that we've been working through, and I've talked about each one of them about 3 months at a time, and our last one starts today, the goal of sharing. What are we sharing? After all, sharing is caring, right? We say that to our kids. Sarah came home the other day. Jumped ahead there too early there. Sarah came home the other day. And she said to me, we're in the car, and pause for an awkward parent moment to build my awkward parent responsibilities. Okay, I think she's thoroughly embarrassed. She loves when I tell stories about her. So let's continue. Sarah came home the other day. This is not about eating, Sarah. It's okay. And I have it on good authority from a sixth grader that the most talked about thing in sixth grade this past week, at least at her school, I don't know about your school or your sixth grader, was the iPhone 11. This isn't an I feel like I'm, you know, working for Apple doing a presentation on, that's right, the iPhone 11. Everyone is talking about it. I don't know if you know that, but that's true. Because after all, I have a point, Sarah, it's okay. Sharing is caring, right? If you're a sixth grader, you care about the iPhone, and you care about the people around you, then you want to put the two together. And so let's do some math. Don't worry, this isn't like my last lesson. This is not Old Testament math where it's a lot easier. But if you have a love of the iPhone, and you love people to know how much you love the iPhone, then that will lead you to share this information, right? Sharing takes place because, after all, sharing is caring. So what are we sharing? You know, the thing is, we can only share what we know, right? You can't share something you don't know. That's why our last goal is grow. We grow in knowledge so we can share. That's why we grow. Not so we know everything or we store this knowledge so that we are moved by this knowledge to pass that on. Because sharing leads to this connection together, our first goal, to connect. Sharing is an avenue of service, our second goal. Sharing is an overflow of our knowledge and our wisdom. But some of us have nothing to share. But after all, sharing is caring. But if you're a sixth grader in a remote part of the world, and maybe you live in a desert, and you don't know, you have no knowledge of iPhones, therefore you probably have no love of iPhones. And if you have no knowledge and no love, you have no real desire to share about a love for iPhones that you don't have or you don't know about, right? It's not going to happen. Because here's what happens. When you have a knowledge and you have love, and you combine that with the desire to share, you will share. You have to live in the knowledge of something, then let that knowledge bring you to love facts about something, be excited about these facts, and eventually be moved to a point where you desire to tell someone. And here's what God is telling us. We live in this community of believers. Don't miss that. He says believers. It means that we're a group of people that share common beliefs, right? We live in a community of people that have knowledge of God and what He has done in His Word. And because of this knowledge, now we have a love of God for His Word. And this creates a desire to share that knowledge with those who have not yet heard. Because after all, sharing is caring. Paul uses the phrase many times, have you not heard? He says this to those in the book of Romans often who have heard. The knowledge of God has been shared with them by people who had a love for God because of that knowledge, and they had a desire to share it with them. And he reminds them of these things that they've already heard. And sometimes we need those reminders. Because sharing good news brings joy to the one who shares it and the one who hears it. Think about that. The one who shares it and the one who hear it both have joy. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. Faith is this action based upon belief. We often speak about sharing our faith. Now, that's something we are actively doing. That means we're actively sharing our faith through these actions and words about what we believe. Because sharing is caring. Why do I keep saying that? You know, sometimes we say we care, but our actions may say something different. The Bible talks about that in many ways. Here's just a few. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, he says, "Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right. Don't go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame." Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel. The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, and there's no knowledge of God in the land." A few verses later in Hosea, he says, we'll put this in order or come back to Deuteronomy. He says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children." And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 9, "As for your little ones who say would become a prey, and your children who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there and to give, and to them I will give it, and they will possess it." Sometimes we don't care to gain knowledge. And so we never fall in love with the facts of who God says He is, what He has done, how He works, what He is doing, what He will do, and then we have no development of this desire to share these things about God with other people. Facts that we don't know. Knowledge we don't have. Something we no longer develop a love for, and we don't really care about it. I want you to think about how dangerous that cycle is, because if you're not sharing, are you really caring? Do you care what state a person's soul is in? Do you care if they have a relationship with God or not? Do you care if they've ever heard that there is forgiveness and power over sin for those who are in Christ? Do you care if they know that God put on flesh, lived among us to redeem mankind? Do you care if they know that? Do you care if they ever hear the gospel of grace from people who have received grace upon grace, assuring them that God wants to wash them clean, move them into His house, adopt him into his family? Do you care that they know that? If we're being honest, whether you are sharing or not is an indicator of whether you care. Because after all, sharing is caring. So are you sharing? And if so, what are we sharing? I hope that you're sharing the story of God. I hope that you talk about His relationship that He's had with humanity. We just finished this study with our teenagers over the last several weeks, and it is just an overview of these words to summarize that idea. What has God done together from the beginning of creation to today with humanity? Our 20s and 30s class is going through something very similar, but I think this is an important thing that we need to remember and know, because we need to be able to talk about it with people, because sharing is caring. Why is this the one story that we have trouble retelling? Right? We can go retell the plot of movies. Don't ask Matt about movies. He'll tell you the whole plot. We often say, "Matt, stop that. You can retell plots of long books. My 8-year-old can tell me the entire plot of Harry Potter. That's a lot longer than this plot, right? What conversations took place months ago, years ago? We can retell them word for word. Where is our knowledge of his story? Does it lead to a love for that story? One that we then have a desire to share with others. See, this is not just being able to recall a list of historical things. It's not just saying, well, I passed the test, flying colors, I can retell the narrative of the Bible. That's not the point. It's so that we understand the history of what God did in that story, so we understand what he's going to do in our story. God creates us to have a relationship with him. We're created in his image. And it's us who choose sin over God. And the Bible says sin brings death. God keeps his promise. Despite our sin, God establishes his people, and through them will bless all people. And then God freely frees his people. His people, Israel, from this bondage that they're in Egypt. God is faithful to his promises and to his people, and he makes an agreement with his people. He agrees to be their God, and they will be faithful to God's law they commit to. Israel then enters this cycle of betrayal, and they abandon God. Their betrayal leads to exile, but God remains faithful. And they return to God, and they rebuild the wall and the temple. And they find the law. They begin to follow it. But one of the most profound things for me that God ever did, before the cross, God does something we would never imagine. It's only something God could do. He's gone through this long time with them, with us. And then he puts on flesh, and he lives as Jesus, both fully human and fully God, to bring life. And we call it the incarnation, and it is the one-word definition of John chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus puts on flesh and lives among us. If you have your Bible, look at John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 9. He says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who are born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word becomes flesh and lives among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Do you really understand how big this is? And I think we need to step back a minute and really let this sink in. God, the one who created the world, the one who walked in the garden with man, establishes a nation, makes promises and covenants with them, lived through abandonment, betrayal of his people, and then he rescues them over and over again, and they finally return to him. Then God, who lived among them in a tent of meeting, the temple, the tabernacle, the one who led them day and night by fire and a cloud, the one who fed them daily from heaven, the God who wanted something more than all of that, who wanted to interact with his creation even closer than that, did just that. He wanted to be face to face with us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, the Bible says that God creates a body for himself. He took time to grow up in this body. In the presence of mankind, with the assistance of mankind, what patience this must have taken for God. To sit in a class as a Jewish student, to be fed and wait for dinner from his mother, to be walked across the street by his siblings. This is so different than all the encounters that everyone other than them have had from God before. Anytime anyone came into the presence of God or even heard him speak, they're terrified. But now they're sitting face to face with Jesus, and mankind experiences God like never before. They share meals with him. They marvel at his teaching and his actions. They saw God. John chapter 1, a little farther down in verse 18, he says, no one has ever seen God. The only God who's at the Father's side, Jesus has made him known. Jesus made God known. God wants to be known. He wanted us to be able to look him in the eye. He wanted us to be comforted by him with his arm around us. He wanted us to see his face when he said, your sins are forgiven. He wanted us to cry with him when we experience loss. He wanted to heal us from our sickness, release us from our demons. He wanted to make sure that we heard from his mouth about the kingdom of heaven. He wanted to share all that he had, all that he was, with us. Because after all, sharing is caring. And no one cares for us more than God. John chapter 1, as we read in verse 1 through 4, it says, that which was from the beginning, we've seen and heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. We've seen it. We've testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was from the Father, and was made manifest to us. That we've seen and we've heard. We proclaim to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. They heard God speak face to face. They touched him. He is real. And they're telling you this because they know that what they know about him brings them such joy. Telling other people brings more joy. And their desire is so that you know, so that you will have fellowship with God and his Son. That's what God wanted from the very beginning. I wish I could have lived during that time. I know what happened. And because I know, I love God even more. Only God, the author of life, could put himself into our story the way that he did. This knowledge, this love brings me to have a desire to share it with you today and others later. And I hope it does the same to you. Jesus' death allows us to be one with God. It's the price of our sin. Jesus is raised from the dead. He proves power over sin and death. He brings hope to the faithful. God calls out people to join his body and makes a new covenant with us. God so loved the world that he has redeemed mankind to enjoy an eternal relationship with him. That is God's story. And as he enters our story, now you get to enter the story of God. God has given us a way to walk with him as he walked with Adam. To be that close, to have that kind of access to him through his son. Back in John chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "From his fullness we've all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus." You may be unqualified, you feel, or unworthy to walk with God, to hear that knowledge that God wants you to walk with him. But it is God who makes us qualified and worthy. It's God who brought something with him to us. God brings grace. John says that Jesus came full of grace and truth. And it says, through him we all have received this grace upon grace. And Paul describes in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, that this is the gospel of grace that he's preaching. God freely shares his grace with us because sharing is caring. He shares his grace with us because he knows it's the only way. We desperately need it, so he pours it out. Grace upon grace upon grace. This morning, God's grace is waiting. We often feel that God's judgment is waiting. And God is telling you, look, I'm waiting with grace upon grace. That's where I've been this whole time. That's where I'm going to continue to be. The God who takes back people who've turned their backs on him. God is waiting with grace. Right now, the God who forgives and forgets is ready to wrap his arms around you like Jesus did with so many in the flesh. Right now, the God who put on flesh desires to live in you and work through you is waiting. God never stops sharing. He never stops caring. Will you? This morning you have the opportunity to respond. And I love that this is a body that is not sitting in judgment, but wraps their arms around people as God did to us. That's the experience you'd have if you respond this morning. If there's something that we can help you with, please do so as we stand and sing.